It's been so, again, for us, a great honor to be here. I love starting out the year at Cornerstone. It excites me. It ignites me. We leave always more encouraged than when we came. And to have these times with you in a short period of time has been just absolutely great. Linda and I have both missed you. So, again, we're so excited and remain excited to place another stone in all that the Lord is saying in this great moment of time we're in. Exodus chapter 33. So appreciate you coming out tonight. It's not snowing, which is good. I haven't had any snow yet this year. I'm pretty happy about that. You'll love the book of Exodus because it just explains how people can be a good people and things we shouldn't be eating. Just remember, Peter saw this little thing coming down from the heavens that released all of us to have lobster. Verse 18, of course, I will come back and start here in a moment. And he said, I beseech thee. What a beautiful word, I think, is what Pastor Sean was saying. Show me thy glory. Hebrews chapter 1, all the way to the other side. Just five or six verses, and then we'll pray and go. Great. Our kids are having a good time. We won't keep them there long. Verse 3 will be the text in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 and 3, but I love the whole old language. God, who at sundry times, in different time periods, in different ways, manners, spoke in times past, almost piece by piece, puzzle by puzzle, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us, it really should be, just so you'll know, in the Son, not just by the Son. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image, exact likeness of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him for whom all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons, not unto glory, but to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Please. So appreciate Steve. I mailed he told me there's four Steves that work back there. They got to do that sometime. So appreciate him. We don't always see him back there. And I sent him these verses probably around 5 o'clock and just so thanked him and appreciated him and the guys and the gals back there who are always serving us. I said to him, the truth is, yeah, it's true. I said to him, I'm so thankful and appreciative to you because really without you, I couldn't do what I'm doing. So again, the appreciation to that fine young man, that group there. Verse 14 of John chapter 1. For the word, that was that eternal one, was made flesh and he tabernacled, dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 2, verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested, made open that which was hidden, revealed that which was unknown, manifested forth his glory and his disciples. They believed on him. Final verse is just absolutely incredible. We'll end with these when I get here soon. John chapter 17. 3 full years later, 30 years after his incarnation, 33 years, however anybody likes to do it. Listen to these incredible words, his final words, beginning in verse 20. Neither pray for these alone. Thankfully, it was going to be continuous generation to now. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I pray they also whom thou hast given me, I pant for this every day, that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Absolutely incredible verses. Let's pray. Father, again, what a tremendous joy it is, and I said it, and I will always say it, and I mean it. You know. You've heard it first. What an honor, a humbling privilege to be a part of Cornerstone, to be able to these years, and even now, I'm more amped, stoked, pumped, jacked about the Word of God than ever before, about the living Word of God than ever before. Thank you for the continuous revelation and ongoing transformation, as Pastor Sean said, of us and the kingdom of God in full manifestation. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks. It was here on Mount Sinai, I've got to start where we began and end. This cloud came, it was, and I don't want to go back to Sunday morning. If you missed that, just catch up. It was this thing in the heavens called glory. They gave it to him, and it was something that filled the heavens. It wasn't the heavens, it was in the heavens, but it was glory. It was the atmosphere that God lived in. He moves in glory. He is to be glorified. It's what he lives. It's his air. It's his atmosphere. He goes nowhere without encompassed in glory. He just draws it out. And he did. Out of the beast and a cherubim and a seraphim. Even Lucifer, which I can't even talk about and don't really like to talk about, he understands giving glory better than anyone. That's why he's so afraid of it. It was a thick darkness, and Moses was not afraid of it. He went up into it to meet the Lord who was in the cloud, and the glory was there. And something was unearthed in Moses that he didn't know was there all of his life in those 40 years. And we read it. It was now his new cry. It was something he desired. I want to see your glory. And the Lord said to him, you cannot look upon it. You will look upon my backside, and I'll let my goodness pass by. But I got to hide you in the cliff of the rock. No man can look upon my face and live. You cannot behold my face. That glory would be the separation between the people of God and the nations of the world. That glory would be the presence of God. It was the glory of God and the presence of God. They were in many ways synonymous because you don't have him there without glory. And if you have him there, you have glory. But that was, it would separate them from all the nations of the world. Even a little farther back here in history, I just want to stop here. The Philistines heard the Israelites shouting and they says, uh-oh, the glory of God has come. We're in trouble. Even the enemy knows that's what makes the people of God different than any other people on the face of the earth. It was his glory. And it came not in this thick darkness and a scary look. It literally started coming as a cloud in Moses' tabernacle. Every time they were there as it was traveling, it became a cloud. And then there was Solomon's temple after David's tabernacle, and he would come there. It was so great upon Solomon's temple that the kingdom was unprecedented. They would never be this great again. The kings of the earth, all of them, not the Queen of Sheba, all the kings of the earth were affected by the glory of God on the people of God and in the tabernacle of God, Solomon's temple, that they would come to see it and hear the wisdom of Solomon. The whole earth was affected by it. It would change the people of God from Solomon's day. Would become a tragedy in many ways. There would have a history. And then came my favorite prophet. He was in Babylon with the refugees in the river Chebar. And the prophet Ezekiel would look up and he would see visions of the glory of God. It wasn't this thick darkness. It wasn't smoke. It wasn't what Isaiah saw. It wasn't what Daniel saw. He now saw a vision coming out of the north. Please know this. The north always speaks of the dwelling place of God. Something was coming from where God dwells. He looked up and it was four living creatures. I can't touch it in Ezekiel 1. It was four living creatures and they all had four faces. The face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. And it had this fire coming down, this blaze. These creatures moved like night lightning. They literally touched the heavens and the earth. This vision of glory connected the heaven to the earth. For the first time, there was something happening between heaven and earth. And the spirit of the creatures was in the wheels. And wherever the spirit went, the creatures went. Wherever the spirit went, the creatures went. It was like lightning. And Ezekiel's watching as it moves back and forth. And at the top of the creatures was a throne established. And Ezekiel falls to the ground at it because he could hear it. It wasn't what the glory of God looked like. It was what the glory of God would produce. The living creatures looked like a man. He would see the glory of God in 12 visions in 20 years. Finally, he would see, or in the middle, let me just start here. He would watch the glory of God in five movements move away from the people of God, upon the temple, finally would move upon what you and I know as the Mount of Olives, and it would be away from the city. The prophet would be watching it, and it was amazing to me that the people of God would maintain their religiosity and maintain being the people of God without the glory of God. I was astounded as he was. The glory of God never left the earth, but it moved away from the people of God. He then would finally see a temple built. The temple would be so exact, so specific, beautiful. And he would look up, and it would be this final three visions, and he saw the glory of God coming out of the east. Oh, what a place. It didn't come out of the north because it already came from God's where God dwells. This is a visitation of God. He was returning to the temple in a way that he had never seen it before, not like Moses' tabernacle, not like Solomon's temple. Here it came, and it filled the temple. It was the same picture he saw before, and the temple was filled. It wasn't smoke, and it wasn't a thick cloud. It was just glory. He knew it. It was everything he saw. He could hear the voice of many waters. He could hear the voice of the Almighty. And the prince came and established his worship in the temple. And the Spirit of the Lord brought Ezekiel out, and he looked, and there was glory in the temple. But then he walked out, and out of the south side of the altar flowed this river. It was glory, and that was a river. And this river flowed out of this temple, and this river flowed, and where this river flowed, it brought trees of fruitfulness, and the trees' leaves were the healing for the nations. And this river flowed, and wherever it flowed, it brought life to anything that was dead. It brought so much life that when it went down into the Dead Sea lived, and every fisherman who couldn't catch fish caught all the fish they needed. Oh, of course, it's an allegory, but it's beautiful, isn't it? I just went through the entire book of Ezekiel in 3 minutes. I thought that was good. You see, from the beginning of time, really, it had begun being declared in the earliest day that the Word would be made flesh. It was first spoken of in the garden. And from the garden to Abraham, the law and the prophets spoke of this coming one. He would be Messiah, Redeemer, Reconciler, Restorer. The people waited. Even the Samaritan woman would say to Jesus, "We heard that Messiah would come." The whole world was looking for him. The whole world. But his people waited. They had no idea what he was going to become. They were expecting a king. because he was from the lineage of David, but he would be from the lineage of Joseph as well. When he was incarnated, those shepherds came and looked at him. He was like any other baby. We know by the prophets, though, light just came into the world, but there was nothing about him that was different. He was going to be made like all men. There was nothing unique about him, nothing special. It was even worse than special. He was in a manger, not even in a room, in a swaddling clothes. He would be in the temple for the first time at 33 days old. And everybody looked at this woman and just looked at this baby. It looked just like any other baby. There was nothing different about him. He was going to be made just like his brethren in all ways. In every way, he would be made just like them. There was not anything different as a man. He would be all man. Even at 12, he knew things that many of the professors and doctors didn't know. And he understood, but he still didn't understand, though he knew he would be about his father's business. He still wasn't ready. He was struggling and with timing just like I have. And for 18 years, we wouldn't see him. So we knew he would come to redeem us and free us and restore us. We knew that he was the captain of our salvation. We knew that he came, that he would be the one that would liberate his people. They knew that. But that day that John the Baptist baptized him, and he knew that when that spirit sat upon him, he would say it the following day to his disciples, I knew for sure that he was the Son of the living God. And when they pointed him out and he saw him and he said, behold the Lamb of God, they had no idea that he was now the incarnated Word. They did not know that he would be the express image of his Father. They had no idea that he was glory that was once in a cloud, once in a tent, once in a tabernacle, once in a temple. He was now the living full manifestation of the glory of God. He was the splendor and majesty and beauty of what was once hidden. It was glory in a man. He was the beginning of something the world had never seen before. He was the beginning of a race of people that the world had not known. You see, he was incredible. He would be the captain. I love it. He would be the first that would be of this kind. He, through suffering, would bring many sons to this glory. It would be through his sufferings he would do this. They would follow him, the first two disciples. And he would turn to them after that and says, what are you doing? Well, we want to know where you go. And he says, follow me. It would be John that would, after watching him through his whole life, they watched him touch and talk. They watched him transform people. They saw him transfigured. They just watched him. Everybody saw Jesus, the carpenter's son. But John would say, we beheld his glory. We saw the splendor, the majesty, and the beauty of God in a man. You see, he was about to assure the future generations that no matter what they would go through, it would be a light affliction that would work in them an eternal weight of glory. You with me? The eternal weight of glory is an expanse that has no limitation to it. That as they would live their lives, and no matter what they went through, Linda said it so well to the ladies, I expressed it to the men, no matter what we faced or no matter what we went through, people in every day of their lives have difficulty, struggle. It's what life's about. But for his people, he would make sure that affliction would be a light affliction and it would be working in them an eternal weight of glory. He would be sure that though Moses had to wear a veil over his face and that no one could look upon the glory, he would be sure that everyone that came to him by their word would have an unveiled face, and he would make sure that they would be able, as looking into a mirror, behold the glory of God, that as they see his glory, they would be changed into that very same image from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. He would live his life to assure the coming generations that they would behold his glory. He would assure the coming generations that the knowledge of that glory would be in the face of Jesus Christ. So I want us to know that as the generations, as in Ezekiel's day, there have been generations, we were certainly getting close to one of those, where the glory of God was in the earth, but it was never upon us like it was to be upon us. And I want you to know that this evening that God, by the work of his Spirit and by the passion of his heart and the cry of his people, he is causing his glory, the glory that was given to us by Jesus Christ, the glory that he had in the beginning, the splendor, the beauty, the majesty. It is the revelation and manifestation of Jesus Christ, so tangible, you can't deny it. Even those who don't believe him cannot deny it. That dimension of his habitation with us. I just have one thing, if you don't mind, in a big parenthesis. So he assured as we walk through life, if I wanted to find the glory for you, it'd be simply this, is what we couldn't see in him, we see. What we didn't know in him, we know. It is, of course, piece by piece, revelation by revelation, transformation by transformation, glory to glory, as by the Spirit. Moses could not look at his face. Jesus came so that we could look in his face. At his final death, his final day, and look at, oh man, I'm doing really nice. His final hour. Imagine he's praying this in front of his people. They're hearing him pray this. I don't know who's writing it down. They're probably like this. I'm so tired. Why does he talk this late? And couldn't he talk earlier in the day? I'm just tired. They're not getting it. Yaddy yakity yak. Behold his glory. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, where you are, we'll be. You're here. We're here. What are you talking about? I mean, where you are, we're going to be. I don't understand that kind of language. Isn't it beautiful? It's present tense, by the way. Present tense. See, something happened, and they crucified the Lord of glory, which they now realize they shouldn't have crucified the Lord of, glory. They had no idea what that glory was going to be. They thought it was going to stay there. It was never to stay there. It was to be here and here. And so, in his death and resurrection, it was amazing. No man was ever resurrected before, but something else happened that never happened before, that becomes the most amazing and critical thing. He ascended. You see, men had looked up here to Isaiah and Daniel. Men have seen things come down from here. No one had ever entered here. Not a man. No man. No man has ever entered in here. But this was the forerunner who, for us, has entered in behind the veil, which is now a door. He entered in, this forerunner. The word means someone who has gone before us so that we can go the very same way. Forerunner has gone before us, who has brought an anchor to my soul, steadfast and sure. What is it? See, that's why when I'm down here and I'm in this earth, I need an anchor in my soul, because there's this wind and pushing and driving and darkness and all this chaotic stuff. It holds my soul, anchors it. And it brings a hope. Boy, this is really a dangerous thing for us, because I have so many friends that want to, I just can't deny the hope. It's a hope in here. I just can't deny it. It's a hope. What do you do? It's a hope. Deny it? It's a hope. What is a hope, Jay? Are you kidding me? Of entering on this other side of the veil. I live for it. I couldn't understand it before. I didn't know what it was. I didn't get it. It was just like this. I'm looking. What do you want, Jay? How about that? No. And sometimes I would bite metal. Just, I don't know what it is. You've been there before. So frustrated. It's Pastor Sean's fault. He's not giving me the right meat. I know it's his fault. No, I know. It's just the music. It's the worship. It's my wife. It's everything. It's da-da-da-da. And then this life brings this glory in here, and splendor and the beauty and the majesty becomes revelation to my eyes, to our hearts, and the glory of God grows within us, and there's a sense of Him, it's Him. Then all of a sudden there's this hope of glory in the earth. Wow, that's where we want it. What is this? It's this Christ. Oh, wait, not the infant, not the dedicated one, not the 12-year-old, that Christ. He's the hope. So now we're living to not just have little Jesus, not just to have a portion of Jesus. We want the whole man. Why? Because we know He's the absolute hope of glory throughout the earth. I was raised that John the Apostle was special. He was. And that he came and was up here and walked around and wrote things down. And he saw the Lamb, the throne, heard the giving of glory. And they always said to me, well, that's only apostles go here. And I thought, well, okay. All right, maybe I'll be one. I don't know. But that sounds kind of lame. I mean, brought all his sons to glory, I thought. Well, then I thought that was heaven, but it's not heaven's glory, but it's heaven. It's in there. Yeah. And so I thought, that's a bummer. And then I finally realized that there's some study and some research and some personal experience that, no. Whosoever will, let him come. What happens here? There's a knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We behold Him. We see Him. He started this, initiated it, because His plan was that the glory of God would be in a temple, and out of a temple would flow a river. He said it was spirit, but it was water. It was a river. And that river would come out. I spit when I preach. I'm sorry. I see white stuff fly over there. It's embarrassing. I tried to catch it like nobody saw it. You know, I really, or quite as long as I was going, hey, Jesus, whoop. You know, I apologize. I just keep going because whatever, I don't know. But that wasn't what He's talking about, believe it or not spit. But the Spirit, I can't see it though. It's glory, but it's Spirit. But it brings life. I'm just dreaming for a moment. Can you imagine that the church comes to a place where there's such a Christ in here that when we go to work, we just open our mouths, hi, how are you? The Spirit comes out and it brings life and healing to the nations. And when a man has a dead life and just dead religion, he just gets in contact with us at work, at wherever. And we just, how are you? What's going on? I just want you to know that the Lord's able. There's this river that flows out of the temple that brings life to even the deadest places in the world. I'm just going to say it again, and I'll finally quote. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. I don't need the verses. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness goes forth as brightness and salvation as the lamp that burneth. For the Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. And I, the Lord, will call you by a new name. His intent always was not that there would be one son, but He would be the firstborn of many sons. And He loves to fill the house with His glory. That the world, once again, I want oneness, and I don't argue with these, let's be one things. I don't do any of that. But I know, and my cry has been for years, I know what will bring oneness. Let them have the glory that You gave me, that they may be one as we are one. We've got to, the glory of God will bring oneness. And that the world might know that you have sent me. I want that. I want to preach, prophesy, be everything I can, walk as holy and humbly as I can to represent him. But the glory of God does what nothing else can do. We are never to live without it. We are never to live without its fullness. I want you this evening to have Moses cry and for us to get ready, because the glory of God is what God is intending to do in this place, in our lives, that the transformation of his image, and we will look at, that's why Linda's word was so good, not Katie Sanchez, that's why there's not one of us in here that hasn't had an affliction, a difficulty, a hardship. It's what life's about. But we're the only people on the face of the earth and all the nations of the world that could be assured no matter what you face, he will make it become an eternal way of glory to us. We're the only people that, how's it going? It's terrible. It is terrible. I mean, this is the worst year I've had in my whole life. Are you something wrong with you? Well, I know I don't like it. It's a painful, but I know there's an eternal weight of glory that'll come out of it.
Amen.
Amen. Father, so thank you for this time and for this evening with my friends. So again, appreciate, this is a subject that I've loved for so long, and I've just never done anything but taught it. I'm so glad that I could now declare it as present. Beautiful. Father, I thank you for those who have labored for it, especially to you, Jesus. Incredible. It was you and designed it specifically that we might be partakers of it. I love the divine nature, so thankful for it. Father, I pray on this, amongst this people, great grace, a great work that you're doing and continue to do. We are in the greatest day we've ever known, but I declare the theme, the greater days are yet to come. Wow. Amen. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. How about giving the Lord a hand for me? We really stand at the threshold of the years of declared word, and declared promises. You know, I'm even standing, I don't know the history before Wayne, but I'm standing before Wayne and before that person. And there just was these declarations of what the Lord would be. It's almost like they set into the cornerstone of cornerstone that this should be a house of prayer, a house of worship, a temple dedicated to the Lord. I understand that language. And what the Lord is doing, he's unearthing the earliest cries, prayers, and promises, and he's bringing them to date. I want you to know, my friend, that the Lord chose his son specifically. He chose the man that he knew would be right, even the day, the time, the age, even through the history of time. He really knew that this is the man I'll set at this time and this day. With his foreknowledge, it's beautiful because he knew what would happen. He knew what would go on. And he really sought out and brought the right man, a man of humility, a man who didn't garment every so often in humility, a man whose skin literally became a coat of humility, a man who's always honored other men and honored the men that were before him and continues to honor men, a man who doesn't evaluate a man's culture, a man's position, or esteems a man because of race, creed, color, or money, or prestige, a man who's given honor to all men. You just do not know how delighted and how it has caused the Lord to be aroused in a way that and even historically, we don't ever really see him aroused. He's so aroused at this point, so wanting and desiring to fulfill his will and word to his and for his son. And God is in this moment of moving. You know, the scriptures are beautiful. When he raises up out of his holy habitation, the whole earth is silent. That's Zechariah's seeing of him. And this is exactly what's happening. The Lord is moving out of his holy habitation, and he's declaring what is to be, not things that shall be, but things to be in this place. And you'll watch as God causes salvation to come in an unprecedented dimensions. It'll be as though I'm standing here. It's like the all four walls have been lifted up, and this dimension of God will flow out into the communities in all four directions. And it's already carrying with it provision. I left one out, though. Well, listen to this. I want to say it over you. And my God will supply all your riches. How's it go? Philippians 4:19.
All your needs.
Riches in glory. So there's riches in glory that only glory brings as far as riches go. That supply need. By the way, the need is anything. Physical, natural, house. It just does stuff. Stuff. Anyways. So what it'll do is that I'm adding that in there because even the finances. What's going to happen this year, it's already begun though, but God is going to increase your faith beyond what you thought it would come to. You just because you're good, I love you. You're a line upon line man. You know, it's faith to faith, and let's take steps, and you'll always be that way. But he's going to come and increase it to unprecedented degree. It'll be like, and I've shared it with you, but I want to share it in this way. When the word of the Lord came to Joshua that Moses is dead, it's that same word. You will not see, even the good days of yesterday will not follow you, nor the bad. It's coming to a day of an unprecedented inheritance of the promise, unprecedented inheritance of the will, plan, purpose, provision of God. Unprecedented. I mean, people are going to start coming in financially well off. People are going to come in that are just men built of faith. You're just going to see this incredible increase of men and women that just believe God. They just believe God. And it's just amazing. As they're driving onto the property, the Lord, they'll be delivered. That's just how it is. You know, I was really angry this morning, and I just feel good now. I don't know why. And you just go, well, it's good to have you. Here's a connection card. Find a small group, and you'll say, that's it. There it is right there. I mean, that's just how it'll go. Yeah. I mean, it'd be exactly. Oh, and by the way, here's our theme, so make sure you put it on your refrigerator. And he's just going to see the Lord increase this. It's ever since, even before, when 2017 began, and I wasn't here, I knew then that his word was already established. I'm just repeating what happened at last year. And God has come to just increase the thing. But he's strengthening the two of you. Sarah, this is the beginning. I said a little bit to you just in a conversation. But young lady, one thing I didn't touch out of Isaiah 2 is that you'd be a royal diadem in the hand of the Lord. He was talking about his people, but that is exactly what the Lord has with you, a royal diadem, a precious jewel. And what the Lord says, I will show it out, and everybody will see it. That's exactly what's happening in this day with you. The great treasure that the Lord has had within you, that you have been willing to allow it to lay here, and a tremendous example of a woman for me and for any other person in this church, a willing to wait on the time of the Lord. What a treasure and what a necessity. What an important thing. That's exactly how you have been. Some would say, well, she doesn't want to do it. They would be wrong. Some would say it was because of the kids. They would be wrong. This incredible ability of you to just wait, release him, watch him walk through it, and allow the God to do this. You will see the Lord almost instantly cause the honoring of you and the word of God that's within you and the incredible treasure is so there. It's like when Josiah found the book of the law buried in the temple. That's how it is. This whole book of the law is buried within the temple, and the Lord is about to draw it out. And even it's going to be surprising as he begins to reveal things to you, but you're going to see that this team begin in a way it has not yet been. You're going to see God do things to you, and I know this is going to be, I'm just going to say it though, but you're going to find that some of these trips are going to be more the two of you going, and not just him. It's just going to be this going, and it's not just going to be where you're going now, but there's going to be this continue the next 5 years, especially these opportunities where you both will go. The house will be taken care of just fine, but he wants to open this up and carry you to other places so that you can carry the very thing he's doing here. This is the greatest day this church has ever known. This is the beginning. I'm telling you, I'm standing all the way back to the very beginning of the foundation stone, and this is to be a house of prayer, a house of healing. That little statue out there is a nice statue. That little thing in the front there is a nice little verse scripture in the ground. Well, it's not going to be in the ground anymore. And it's just not going to be a statue anymore. No. And it's really the Lord honoring, and I'm saying this to you, but I'm saying it to the house. Honoring the house. When Jesus went into the temple, he had to cleanse the thing because he said, this is my Father's house, to be a house of prayer. You know how rejoicing it is for him to come to a house and find that it is a house of prayer for all nations, and he doesn't have to clean it out? Oh, yeah. And he visits many, many times, and he doesn't always find the same thing. But I just want you to know, do you want to add to this, baby? Huh? Come on. Oh, good. Okay. So just know this is okay. But this growth is just the beginning. You're going to find in strength, authority, anointing. Those are things that only the Lord can do because you can't make those up. You would never do it. You're just going to find Matthew is clear that a man can't add to his stature, but God can. And so the Lord is just going to increase your stature where you have not been so seen, even amongst your denominational people. Just prepare yourself because there's going to be some questions, answers. Come on over here. What about this? What about that? Just understand that that's going to start opening up. It's all right. It is right that you come and begin to share things and be a part of it. And they're just going to want you to be part of leader stuff. This is over the next 5 years, but just anticipate it because the Lord is going to cause the thing to open. He's bringing the people already. You know you have a great staff here. You have a great eldership. But it's just every year it's going to just increase. It's going to be that way. I just want to say it again to you. If there was ever a man that stood as the set guy, the lead pastor, that can just feel like, wow, you know what? How is this possible? I mean, I'm living the dream beyond dreams. If there anyone could ever say that, it's you. I like that. Yeah, I've been waiting all weekend to say that. You know, that's tough. You don't realize how difficult that is. You really don't. It is difficult. So, you know, it was really good that the two of you were here. Yeah, because sometimes, you know, Lazarus, I love the Lazarus story, you know, because Lazarus comes out of the grave. I mean, he's raised into new life, but he still has this death garment. You know, death garment is tied like this, and he walks out. So everybody's here, everybody's amazed, but he's in there going like, "I don't think anything's changed." I mean, I'm, and he's walking. It just seems as though he's not really there. Something's still not right. And I love what Jesus says. I would have thought Jesus would have said, "You know, Lazarus, take off those garments," because no man could do it. He said to the men around him, "Unravel those garments, take them off." And the Lord has brought the two of you here to unravel some of the death garments, unravel some of the things that have carried out from the grave, carried out from previous experiences, carried out from previous life, carried out, not previous life, previous experiences of your life. There's just places that we all have them. For some, they stay longer because we have to have someone to help us take them off. I've known the frustration because I'm in there like fighting, you know, like the mummy, kind of, get out of this thing. And what the Lord did in our lives, especially in my life, was he brought other men just to start unraveling it, other women. Boy, as it began to unravel, I began to sense the liberty. Because I didn't trust them, really. Even though the Lord's the one who said it, I couldn't see. I was still blind, but yet I was not in the grave. I was alive, but something was not right. And so the Lord's brought you here to just unravel the grave garment, the grave clothes, so that you might walk free and liberated and whole. Lazarus learned that day, you know, three months later, he would be sitting at dinner eating with Jesus, the guy that was dead. Well, that's an amazing thing in 3 days, to be sitting eating dinner with Jesus. Incredible. Martha was cooking. But it just goes to show what the Lord can do in a moment in our lives. And I want you to know he's begun already to unravel the death garments that have attempted to stay upon you and hold you, especially with you, but both of you, so that you can walk in freedom and liberty. Because I think they had a smell to them, they had a stink to them, they had a memory to them. You remember, he probably heard Martha saying, "He stinks!" I mean, even his own sister was like, don't do it. Leave him in there. She got to read the story. What happens, though, is the Lord brings us from life to life, glory to glory, dimension to dimension, metamorpho to metamorpho. And he's brought you out of what was old life, what was death, what was no future, and he brought you into his kingdom. And now what he's doing, he's moving you into another dimension of his kingdom to bring liberty and freedom, bring wholeness and trust that he will do it. You heard me, all the verses I used, only he could cause what seems to, you know, when Paul uses this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's where I quoted that. He goes, I was dying, beaten, stoned, killed, kicked, hated. Then he says, light affliction. I want to say, dude, it must have got to your head, because that's not a light affliction. But he had an understanding that whatever took place, as Joseph knew at the end of his life, it'll be to me an eternal dimension of his glory. And my sister and brother, please trust this. You haven't lived yet. God will see it to it that your life is full and fruitful, and he will watch your days, and he will lengthen your days, and he will move things and obstacles, even where trappings may be set. He will go before you, and he'll stay behind you, that nothing from the yesterdays will ever catch up to you. Quarter after. I'm already into the negative by a minute. Yeah, I could do that. I'm glad the boss is over here. But I do appreciate it. I do, honestly. Yeah, he's a good boss, right? You heard all that. I'm not going to mess with him. Pretty soon he's going to be bigger and taller than me, which just doesn't take much. Yeah. All right, I need to really just, all right. Yeah. So there's a lot. There's so many people in here. So I just want to encourage you, okay? Listen, the Lord really you belong to him? Yeah, he's got his hands full, but it's all good. I want you to know the Lord really wants to set you into the business community, my friend. I was just looking around the room earlier, and it's one of these moments in this prophetic moment that really the Lord was just, especially because of him, just touching some of the people, individuals who he wants to extend a little bit, wants to establish. That couple over there, he wanted to just to establish. But with you, though, he wants to establish you deeper and higher and wider in the business community. You're just such an integrous man, such a man of integrity. Even the governing boards of the counties and everything will begin to look at you. That's the grace of God upon you. Nehemiah has this unusual grace. Daniel has it too. They wrote it as unique. They wrote it as special. But it was something about God's work upon him. And it's so clear to me, just over here looking at you, that he wants to establish you in the world, in here, as, I'm going to use this term, eldership. It doesn't mean you be an elder, but an elder is a man who's responsible. He's caring for the flock. He's caring for the people. That's what he does. That's what an elder does. That's what they do. That's what it's about. But you're that out there, which is so rare. Like Boaz was to his community, that's exactly what you are to this community around, the larger community of whatever county this is. That's how the Lord wants to do it. So establish you high ranking in the business community. If you're not running your own company, then it's the CEO, it's this kind of executive. Bankers will look to you. You'll just always be where some men will work the streets. You won't do that. You'll work all the high places. You'll be the man of influence there. You have to know, though, because sometimes you question your own ability, you question your own strength. Sometimes you want to be sure that's what makes you so good. You don't want to, you would think, well, no, there's better. Yeah, there is better, but there's not one like you, though. That's the key. So the qualities that God is looking for in this hour and day, that a man has integrity, and even if men talk about him, he's not moved by that, because he's not living for them, he's living for him, and so he wants to represent him fully. Man, that's you. Are you kidding? So the Lord doesn't mind bringing large amounts of money. You'll like that. Yeah, you'll like this. Honestly, I'm talking about the large home. You dream it. The Lord will provide it. You both will work for it. You'll be along his side. It's not only him doing it, though, but he wants you by him, working with him. Doesn't mean you have to work side by side, but where you are, home, whatever you're doing, those things, you're intricate to this, though, because he draws strength from you. He really does. And sometimes guys don't say it, though, but he's stronger when he knows you're with him. If he leaves the house and you guys had an issue, he doesn't want to go. He doesn't. He's uncomfortable at work. He just doesn't like that. you know, sometimes I leave, I make think, Linda, I can be do without you, but I get in the car and I whimper. But I can't tell her that, so, you know, don't say anything. Just know, I really, that's why I needed to thank Pastor Sean for doing this, though. My brother, please, he's increased, even this word comes, as the prophetic word sometimes comes, to be a fresh seed within your spirit. It's not so much about confirmation as earthing something within you, putting something within your heart and spirit you might dare to believe that God just might be willing to do this, that you will begin to say yes, Lord, to the very thing he wants to do, and then you won't put limitations on yourself. Salvation is going to come to your family in an incredible way. They love him already, but you're going to see God do some work. And so right now, much like Sarah, a lot of this was all about Pastor Sean, not so much about his wife, and a lot of this is going to be about him over these years. But young lady, please know that God's doing very rich things within your life. Boy, you've had an interesting young life, an interesting childhood, but the Lord is recovering everything. You've always been a bright star, shining. You know, she's full of life, man. And that's exactly how he's made you. But he's really going to give you this sense of importance, of great value, because you have it. And you'll see there'll be a day when the two of you will stand together as you represent corporate world to the people of that world, but you'll demonstrate a kingdom of family life and of love and of passion that'll be incredible. That's why you have to have the big house. I mean it. 4, 5, 6 bedrooms. You decide what you want to believe for. The Lord will provide for it. Please stand. Thank you. Look at how big he is to begin with. These two guys, if they hung out together, it'd be like the Twin Towers moved to Virginia. My Lord, they make it, I feel now I feel really short. Father, I just thank you again. On behalf of Linda and I just want you to know how grateful, honored we are to be a part, of course, of you and your work, but a part of Cornerstone, your planting, your fruitful bow. Father, I pray, as you already have done, is that there would be such a vintage of spirit here that every person that comes will taste of it and say, wow, this is something I've never tasted before. Father, I thank you that you're already doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks. And Linda, for a great weekend. I pray that you'll continue just to hunger after him in this season. Boy, I tell you, the Lord's a few things. John, you may not want to go any place. John Hine, you may not want to go any place. First of all, would a few of you before this night is through, you got Danny, you got Angie, you got Sarah, they're all going to be joining. They're all part of the team that's about to go. And you know, and the Lord's so wonderful. There's so much, it's not spiritual warfare like we're getting battered or anything, but there's just, I mean, you understand the missions in general, but this is a really significant time for the kingdom. So in a moment, I'm going to ask that we make sure we say some prayers for the family. And I'm going to ask a few of you to make sure you get over there and do that. I do want to say a few other things. Jay mentioned that idea of, wow, this is a really bad time, but I have so much joy in my life because I'm just so enthralled with him and who. And there are several people in this church and several of them here right now that really have been part of understanding a victory that goes beyond circumstance. And there's a few, I think, of Carrie and Anne, certainly, and just the way they walk among us and the amazing love they have for the Lord at every turn and every season. Think of Dick and Kathy right now. I think we're all witnessing something very special there. I've always declared it for Dan over there. Dan, I just feel like, you know, that's always you have a word for victory over pain. There's a few, just honoring each of them. I want to tell you, though, the way I beheld that truth in Pat Hine through what she's gone through literally took my breath away. I mean, like, I was like, whoa, what am I witnessing? And it's been beautiful in every expression, but I feel like I need to say it in front of some of the church congregation, Pat. Just what is in you right now. And what you have said yes to is really, like last time I was in the hospital, like I really left the glory of God there. I was like, that was awesome. And it was just, I just kind of wanted to clear all of us too. I think however the Lord leads you, Pat, in welcoming and people who are in the midst of suffering and people who are in the midst of pain. I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do, but I just really wanted to acknowledge that as part of our church family. And I just want to encourage you. I think there's just a wellspring there, not that we can all go have lunch with everybody, but I think just prayer times around, it's pretty bad. John's had a front row seat. He's seen it. He knows what it is. So I really think, and in these that I've mentioned as part of our eldership and then others, we're really living in a rich time. I mean, we have some pillars in the midst of our house that really we can be safe in and grow in. And so I just want to encourage you as a family just to take time to find each other and to rally around some of our eldership and some of our leadership. There's some really beautiful work. I thought the word for Red Smith last night was really appropriate that the Lord gave Red. You know, always want to honor you as well. And just the word for Red was that there are few that go from one generation to the next. And you know, that Jacob and, I mean, that Joshua and Caleb Spirit and is Red, you know, obviously for Doug and all that he's always walked us in. So I just want to acknowledge that there's some places of glory already working among us. I think it's a time for all of us to press in. So what I'd like to do, we've got to honor Chuck, obviously. We're rich people. That's all I could say. Here's what I'd like us to do. I'd just like to finish in a few moments of prayer together. I haven't even mentioned the next generation and several in this room that are part of that. What I'd like us to do is I'd like us to take a moment. If one of the people I mentioned is someone you want to go pray with, or I mentioned you and you feel, I'd like us to get in a few groups of prayer. I'm sure all of us have a particular heart to pray for the missions team, so I think some of us can be part of that. But let's finish up with part of what Jay and Linda were sharing was the issue of God's glory coming from not just one of us, but all of us. I just think we need a prayer time where we do that. Would you do me a favor? I know some of us, I think most of us in this room, I mean, we're pretty comfortable with each other. We're pretty family atmosphere already. I don't see too many people I don't know well in this place. So whoever that is, though, just love on them well and smile, okay? Smile to them. But can we do that? Could you find a few people to pray with? And if the Lord leads you to somebody, would you make sure and just be very gracious? And we don't have to have a lot of words about too much, but just let's have some time to be together. If you're not sure who to go to, look around and find somebody. With a few of you over here with Angie, and especially some, Doug, would you mind being part of that prayer leadership time? Is everybody finding some people? Making sure they get loved on well. Amen. Would you finish up in a moment of prayer together and let the Holy Spirit just use you? When you finish with that, greet a few people and then just leave in the peace and the love of the Lord.